Hank's theme song. Good evening. You're listening to the Hank Jones Poly Sports. This is Vito Esposito. I'm sitting in for Hank today, tonight, and he's celebrating his 25th wedding anniversary. So congratulations to Hank, and more importantly, congratulations to Mrs. Hank. No, it's great. The happy couple, very nice. Very nice. I hope they enjoy their anniversary time together. And speaking of the silver anniversary, how about time flying by with the movie Tin Cup? Since this is Hank Jones Poly Sports, Hank Jones, Tin Cup is 25 years old. Roy Tin Cup McAvoy, played by Kevin Costner, was the Gopher Broke golf range owner, was always getting into his own way. And his nemesis was Don Johnson. The phrase tin cup, though, is now a saying in golf. You hit your ball in the water, going for the green in two on a par five, and it's, oops, you tin cupped it. So something good came out of the movie, but it's really cool. But in the end, you know, the one thing about always getting into his own way, Roy Tin Cup McAvoy, he ends up with the beautiful girl played by Renee Russo. So I don't consider that to be a bad thing. But John Vandeveld blew a three-shot lead playing the 18th hole during the British Open. And what did he do? He tin cupped it. Oops, there we go. That's gone. Boom, tin cupped that one too. So 25 years ago, the movie Tin Cup was on its way to becoming a movie classic. Yeah, but I'll tell you, though, my favorite is still The Greatest Game Ever Played, and it's about the Francis We Met story back in, I think it was 1908, 1907, Brookline, Massachusetts. Is actually Brookline, Massachusetts. It's going to be the site of the 2022 U.S. Open, or U.S. Men's Open. So it should be a... What a great place. What a great story. What I would give to qualify for that. Oh. You'll remember too with Tin Cup, Cheech Marin was also part of it. He was his caddy. And they got into it in different spots. And at one point, Cheech Marin wanted Tin Cup to get it, you know, to play a hole conservatively. And, Roy McAvoy got mad, and so he ended up breaking all of his clubs because Cheech Marin wouldn't give him a 7-iron, so he broke every club except his 7-iron and played the rest of the round and qualified for, I believe, the U.S. Open, playing with one club in his bag, and made it funny. And there were some great cameos in there. The great Ken Venturi was an announcer along with Jim. I forget his name anyways, but the more importantly is – Ken Venturi was in there, as well as Vern Lundquist. Vern Lundquist, if you listen to golf, Vern Lundquist, and even college football, he's retired now, but what a voice. The man had a great voice, a distinct voice, and he is now he's the voice of the 16th hole at Augusta every year. Even though he's not doing any announcing during the course of the year, Vern Lundquist is the voice on the 16th hole at the Masters every year. And he's just, what a great announcer. I get chills thinking about that guy, just a very jolly and a cool man. So that's my point of privilege for golf here. Some obits. I know Hank likes to do or does some obituaries during the start of a show, but Cynthia Harris, she was an actress who played on Mad About You. She was, I believe, she was the mother of one of the stars on that show, which was Paul Reiser's character. That's right. And so she played Sylvia Buckman. She died at the age of 87 years old. My own. Eddie Robinson, the oldest living former Major League Baseball player. He was the last surviving member of the 1948 World Series winning Cleveland Indians. And it was the last year the Cleveland Indians actually won the World Series. So, and obviously now he is the oldest living Indian. And I believe the Cleveland Indians are changing their name to the Cleveland Cowards. And they should change their name to the Cleveland Cowards and change the color of the uniforms to yellow, or at least have a yellow stripe down their back. Freaking cowards. Alan Coulter, he was the late show announcer on with David Letterman. He had a distinct voice, too. He was really good. I didn't realize it was David Coulter was 78 years old, passed away on October the 4th. And I know there's a Yankee fan in the room as well, Bigfoot, Tom Carroll. He was the youngest Yankee ever to play in a World Series, and he passed away at the ripe old age of 85. So, yeah, a long career in the CIA as well. That's interesting. Didn't know that. Sidney Walton, World War II vet known for No Regrets Tour. In his travels, he met with Presidents Trump and Biden, as well as 40 governors. And God bless the man. Just the utmost respect for that World War II generation, including my pop. And also a World War II vet who survived Pearl Harbor was Armando Chick Galella. He passed away on September the 29th at the age of 100. He died in Sleepy Hollow, New York, of all places, complications due to COVID. Galella was 19 years old when he joined the Army in 1940. He later told the story of the day when he enlisted. When he initially weighed 2 pounds under the Army's weight requirement, he stepped away, ate 2 bananas, drank some water, came back to meet the minimum weight. This is the greatest generation ever. Ever. The greatest generation. Today, he would have had to go to a safe room. He would probably have to consult a safe space. Someone give him a teddy bear. He enlisted. He found a way to get into the United States military. Let's see. It says he stepped away. So he's stationed at Pearl Harbor. He remembered having just finished breakfast when he heard the attack begin. Though Galella survived, living out of a volcanic crater for 2 weeks after the bombardment, his best friend home, John Horan, didn't. In later years, Galella worked to have a park alongside the Hudson River named in the honor of Horan. So Galella served 5 years in the Army in the Pacific Theater, including fighting in the Battle of Okinawa. Tell me, this guy didn't have any nuts. He was honored with a Bronze Star for his service and was a battalion sergeant major at the time of his discharge. In later years, Galella served as village trustee and fire commissioner in his hometown. And in 2013, he was instrumental in the restoration of a local group of memorials to veterans of World War I. So God bless you. Rest in peace, Mr. Armando Chick Galella, 100 years old. Man, God bless him. Want to say hello to Indy Hawk and to Bigfoot, our big patriot, and I think also Hawkeye Mike. And we're going to talk some sports tonight as well as some politics. We just got 2 points of politics to talk about. And then, you know, hopefully Brother Tommy will call in and as well as Indy Hawk and T. Bodie, and we'll talk some sports, some college football sports. Today, it was reported there was a shooting at a high school in Arlington, Texas. And I'll tell you, I must give Hank credit for this prognostication, and it's nothing to gloat about, but I have to give him credit. Hank and I were discussing how little Hitler, Czar Joe Biden, has been trampling on the U.S. Constitution and how he's abridged all 5 components, and his administration as well has abridged all 5 components of the First Amendment. And if there's any liberals listening, the 5 components are freedom of religion, freedom of the press, freedom of speech, freedom of the people to peaceably assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And we had Hank and I had a nice little conversation about that. But Hank then went on to say, and don't forget about the Second Amendment. He says, don't forget. You know, La Dopey Nostra, Biden, Harris are also going after the Second Amendment. And I wouldn't be surprised in the next 2 months if we start seeing school shootings emerge. This is what Hank predicted. Hank foresaw, and conservatives know and understand that we have an anti-constitutional administration, an administration that that does not revere our constitutional republic, despises it in favor of a globalist movement. And they are doing everything that would be Czar Biden and Communist Kamala to undermine the U.S. Constitution, to shred the U.S. Constitution. And La Dolce Nostra is doing everything they can to abridge the freedoms and the Bill of Rights of Americans. You have Biden and Harris creating chaos all over the United States, including our poorest borders, which they aren't doing a darn thing about. And to name Communist Kamala as border czar is an absolute joke. But it's yet another meaningless soundbite and a campaign slogan by La Dolce Nostra. Czar Biden and Harris and Obama have demonized religion in America. And if you dare carry a Bible or even look at one, you're now considered a domestic terrorist. And Czar Biden, Harris, and Obama have utter contempt for Texas, for the state of Texas, the state of Florida, and the state of South Dakota. They will do everything in their power to undermine those states, to undermine the governors of those states, and, of course, the American people residing in those states. So while any school shooting is an initial shock, it's no longer a shock with this anti-constitutional La Dolce Nostra regime. They are, if anything else, predictable. Sadly, the DNC media will run with this and exploit guns. They won't exploit the shooter because the shooter was black. He was identified, this young man was identified as Timothy Simpkins, a young black male. Is this considered a hate crime? Well, no one's talking hate crime. And, you know, you look at the photos of Timothy Simpkins, and you see he is a young black man. He can't be more than 17 years old. He looks like a kid. But you notice all the race baiters and the phonies on the left have yet to come out of the woodwork or from underneath their racist rocks, like the phonies who glom on, you know, to the South Florida shooting. Or like race baiters like Sheila Jackass Lee and the mouth of the West, Maxine Waters, and the race hustler, shyster Al Sharpton. And remember, the communist movement in America is being implemented by the Democrat Communist Party, formerly known as the Democrat Party. And it is to disarm Americans. It's to distract Americans. The Democrat Party is not democratic. It's probably more demonic than democratic. There's nothing democratic about the Democrat Party. Now, the threat of 80 million plus gun-owning Americans peaceably exercising their Second Amendment constitutional rights to bear arms does scare the hell out of and is still a threat to any tyrannical government, including that current government of La Dolce Nostra, Czar Biden, Communist Kamala, and the anti-American Barack Hussein Totoro Obama. And remember, the Second Amendment states the right to bear arms shall not be infringed. So kudos to Hank. He saw this coming. Conservatives see this coming. We know we're being duped in many ways. And this is just another example of how the dishonest Democrat Communist Party is invoking their anti-constitutional ways. And speaking of anti-constitutional, I don't know if you saw this, but it's a two-tiered story. Terry McAuliffe, awful Terry McAuliffe, who's running for governor, I believe, of Virginia. During a debate, awful McAuliffe had the audacity. Now, you have to understand, Terry McAuliffe ran the Democrat Communist Party, the DNC, in Washington, D.C. during the corrupt Clinton era. And he was one of the big supporters of the corrupt Clintons. And awful McAuliffe now believes, and he stated this. This is what he stated during a debate with the Republican challenger. He stated, "I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach." Now, think about that. Think about that statement. I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach. And it goes back to Hillary Rodham Clinton's statement, it takes a village to raise a child. How dare parents challenge the progressive pollution of these elitist school boards in teaching our kids. The article is in the Federalist. You can go online and check it out. Terry McAuliffe says parents shouldn't be telling schools what to teach their kids. So the indoctrination of critical race theory, the indoctrination that police are bad, the indoctrination that Trump is bad, the indoctrination that conservatives were bad, and that that slavery, of course, was bad, but that every founding father owned a slave or was guilty of some sort of white nationalism, it's not supposed to be challenged. So parents, you're supposed to just shut up, sit back, shut up, and let these little Marxists in the school board teach your child. Now, the comments from the former governor, now candidate, came in response to statements issued by GOP candidate Glenn Youngkin during last Tuesday's Virginia governor's debate, wherein the Republican businessman emphasized the importance of local control over education and having parents involved in the school curriculum. Imagine having parents involved in the school curriculum. Parents today can't even help their kids do something simple functions as math. Now, candidate Youngkin said, "What we've seen over the course of the last 20 months is our school systems refusing to engage with parents. In fact, the Fairfax County, this past week, we watched parents so upset because there was such sexually explicit material in the library they had never seen. It was shocking," Youngkin said. "And in fact, you vetoed the bill that would have informed parents that they were there. You believe school systems should tell children what to do. I believe parents should be in charge of their kids' educations," said Glenn Youngkin. And in response, Terry McAuliffe comes back and says, he would have argued that had the right, McAuliffe argued that parents would have had the right to veto the books under the bill he vetoed, while adding that he's not going to let parents come into schools and actually take the books out and make their own decisions. And you see, this is where the Democratic Communist Party is disingenuous. They are the Democratic Communist Party is actually the fascists. They will burn books. The issue is that I don't want the school system to teach my 12-year-old about sex, or have sexually explicit magazines, books, or newspapers at the disposal of my 10, 11, and 12-year-old. That's not the job of the school. And I think parents do have a say in it. But now we fast forward to today, and what's mounting here all over the news is the fact that The Democrat Communist Party and their members are creating fear and demonizing Americans. And the cowardly elitists of the school boards now have labeled parents who oppose their agenda as domestic terrorists. You heard it right. They're labeling parents as domestic terrorists. So keeping the theme of tyrannical government in the United States, we now have school boards around the United States who deem parents as and labeling them as terrorists for daring to speak out against the education elitists who are polluting our children's minds with their left-wing lunacy. Their political correctness, their multicultural woke agenda is being shoved down our kids' throats. But the pushback is against the communist movement woke agenda. And imagine parents in America engaged in their children's education. Imagine parents in America who actually care about what their children learn. That used to be first and foremost. Parents were engaged in what their children did. And then the left-wing progressive movement started gaining some steam, and it takes a village to raise a child. Hogwash. Parents do care, and parents don't like the extreme Marxist, communist, and progressive agenda being shoved down our kids' throats. The pollution of progressive politics is a cancer. Parents who demand accountability are now labeled as domestic terrorists by our tyrannical government. tyrants of the Attorney General's office, including and led by Merrick Garland. You know, Merrick is still reeling for not being on the Supreme Court. So now a payback is hell. The fascists, the Marxists, the communists are in charge. How dare you, the people, we the people, speak out against the tyranny of an extreme government. So the National School Board Association president, Viola Garcia, believes that parents who are concerned about what their children are being indoctrinated into in schools are engaged in domestic terrorism. That's what she believes. That's what she wrote. The president of the National School Board Association wrote that parents are considered domestic terrorists. In that letter, the National School Board Association requested the feds intervene to stop threats and acts of violence against school board members, school officials, and teachers. You know, most of those acts that they're so concerned about is with parents stating that they will take them out at the ballot box. They will challenge them. They don't like that. The left doesn't like that. Suddenly, you're a terrorist. Oh, this week, the leaders of 24 or so parent organizations fought back and blasted the National School Board Association with their own letter. And in that letter, the group slammed the National School Board Association's ridiculous claim of hate and terrorism. The NSBA cites a tiny number of minor incidents in order to insinuate that parents who are criticizing and protesting the decision of school boards are engaging in and may be engaging in domestic terrorism and hate crimes. The NSBA, the National School Board Association, even invokes the Patriot Act. Now, here it is. I just mentioned about the gentleman who fought in World War II, who was one of the oldest veterans of Pearl Harbor, and at 19 years old enlisted in the United States Army, and he couldn't qualify based on the Army qualification, so he found a way to meet the weight requirements. He found a way. And today, the fragile snowflake woke school boards are invoking the Patriot Act against parents and labeling them as domestic terrorists. I mean, what hubris. This is how the left wing looks at the American people. And again, it was Hillary Rodham Clinton who stated it takes a village to raise a child. Excuse me, it takes parents to raise a child, Hillary Rodham Clinton. We don't need the pollution of progressive politics to raise a child. The village is now speaking out and telling we the people to sit down and shut up. We will program your child what to read. We will program your child what to think and how to speak. But the response from leaders of 24 or so parent organizations is fighting back. And they released this statement, and in part it reads, the association of legitimate protest with terrorism and violence reveals both your contempt for parents and your unwillingness to understand and hear the sincere cries of parents on behalf of their children. To equate parents with terrorists dishonors the thousands of victims of actual terrorism around the world. Have you no shame? And no, the school boards have no shame. The left wing has no shame. The NSBA has no shame. Attorney General Merrick Garland has no shame. The Democrat Communist Party has no shame. And certainly the anti-Americans in government like Czar Joe Biden, Communist Kamala, they certainly have no shame. But you got to love the Florida governor, Ron DeSantis. He tweeted out, Attorney General Garland is weaponizing the DOJ by using the FBI to pursue concerned parents and silence them through intimidation. Florida will defend the free speech and rights of its citizens and will not allow federal agents to squelch dissent. You know, and Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, gets it. He gets it. Protecting free speech. See, the left doesn't like free speech because they don't like dissenting speech. It's their speech or it's no speech at all. And the left has proven that they don't like the idea of the right of, to people to peaceably assemble, because that's what parents are doing at these school board meetings. They're peaceably assembling, and they are redressing the government for grievances. Because, in fact, the school boards are a form of a government, and the left doesn't like that. You will like the way we teach your children, and you will have nothing to say about it. And if you don't like the way we're teaching your children, we'll bring in the Department of Justice, and we will start going after you. That's exactly what tyrants do. It's exactly what dictators do. Well, parents aren't having any of it. And we finally have governors who have the backbone to stand up to this tyranny. The Bill of Rights, the First Amendment speaks volumes, the right of the people to peaceably assemble. And that's what's happening at these school board meetings. People are peaceably assembling. The right of the people to redress the government for grievances, and that's what they are doing. They don't like the methods in which their children are being taught by radicals. Erasing history, invoking this woke culture. Thomas Jefferson was a great man. You don't take down his statue. George Washington was a great man. You don't tear down his statue. You want to rewrite history. You want to come up with this garbage of the 1619 Project, which is absolute fallacy. There is no shame with the left wing in America anymore. There is no shame with the Democrat Communist Party. It's about dismantling this constitutional republic, and it's about suppressing your right to free speech in America. So keep a watch on it. This is going to be interesting, and I hope to see more tweets from governors around the United States, irrespective of your party affiliation. If you truly believe in the United States Constitution, your party has no affiliation at this point. It's about protecting Americans' constitutional rights. And that the first right is the Bill of Rights. It's the right of free speech. It's the right to peaceably assemble. It's the right to redress your government for grievances. And it's the right for you to practice your religion freely in America. And by God, you have the right to bear arms. And speaking of free speech, I have to bring this on. I think this is the short one.
Got it. This is TJ, dedicating the song.
Whoa, Black Betty, Bama Lamb. Whoa, Black Betty, Bama Lamb. She's from Birmingham, Bama Lamb. Way down in Alabama, Bama Lamb. The way she shake that thing, Bama Lamb. Boy, she make me sing, Bama Lamb. Whoa, Black Betty, Bama Lamb. Whoa, Black Betty, Bama Lamb. She really get me.
Brother Tommy, how are you doing, my friend?
I'll tell you what, I like you a hell of a lot more better than Hank, who's my biological brother. You at least give me props.
Come on, Hank is a good job.
I don't ever call in on politics. I am today. I actually listened to your show on Monday, and I tried to call in, but you dissed me for whatever reason, which is your business.
No, but, I tried to answer you at least twice, and there was dead air. There was nothing.
I know, and I heard it multiple times. You were like, we got to call her in, and then it didn't happen. So, okay, I'll blame it on the manufacturing error, whatever. Error.
All right.
But what you're saying right now, I never call in on politics, but I had to. What you're saying is I can't amplify the point enough. What you're saying is absolutely right, and I've got a sister who's got grandkids and stuff, and people do not understand what these kids are being taught in school. They are being taught – Hank had a guest on once, and he kept on using the term demonic way too much, and I'm like, okay, that's an easy out. But then I finally realized that there might be something demonic about it. She tells me about what these kids, and she's a Republican, or at least a conservative, and she tells me what these kids are being taught. And I'm like horrified, mortified, petrified, you know, whatever-fied. Mm-hmm. So I just had to do that. Now, I hope I'm going to still be invited for the football discussion. And, God, did I fucking shit the bed last week on that. I was like 0 for 9. I'm like, really, Tommy? I used to be a gambler. But, anywho, I just wanted to say what you just said is so freaking true. But I don't think people, even after listening to you, I don't think people realize how bad it is. It's disgusting. And that's all I had to say about that.
Tommy, it is disgusting. And, you know, the one thing when I was on Twitter today, I happened to come across Ron DeSantis, Governor of Florida's tweet. And, you know, it was a very good tweet. It was condensed. And then I got to thinking, you know, Florida will defend the free speech rights of citizens and will not allow federal agents to squelch dissent. And I started thinking about that, and boom, it hit me. It was like, he's absolutely right. First of all, the free speech is what the left wing does not like in America. And now that people are awakening, and you know what's happening is, it's not just, forget about the party affiliation. It's parents with students, and they're realizing what's being taught to their children, and they don't like it. And so they're speaking out, and now they're being shut down and they're being slapped down by these school boards who think that they are God. They're not listening to
the
people.
What your poignant point was, excuse the alliteration, was that they are actually the fascists. In other words, they claim, oh, Republicans, fascists, they are the fascists. And I interrupted, and I'm sorry for such, but...
No, you're fine.
They are fascists. And it is so incredibly bad. People don't even get it. That's why I loved your soliloquy. I loved it on Monday. I did listen to your show on Monday. I always fall asleep, and I'm telling Hank, I'm like, I got to listen to Beto's show on Monday. And I finally listened to it, and you had a great soliloquy there, too. A little bit overstated, but great nonetheless. But, what you're saying is right, but unfortunately, people aren't responding in the way we should respond. We take it with a grain of salt. That's why Trump gets voted out of office, and you got the – and here again, I don't like going down politics anymore. I used to. I used to watch news 8 hours a day. I don't like going down it, but I think we've got the most moronic president in my lifetime. I probably said it on the show before. I don't know. But it's awful. It's god-awful, and I just don't think people realize how bad it is. Now you got the floor.
You know what? I respect Hank and his show, so I'm not going to – I absolutely despise bumbling Biden. I really do. I just –
I hate the guy.
He's an embarrassment.
I can tolerate – even though he's a bigger phony, I can tolerate Obama. And God knows, you know what? Like you said, why the political distinctions, this side of the aisle, that side of the aisle? Clinton actually – other than he fucked things up in a different way, he actually did an okay job. But no, Biden, I'm sorry. In fact, I'm just appalled. Hawkeye Mike, who, God willing, will be calling tonight and do the picks. I think he beat me last week. God damn it, I'm so sick of these people beating me when they don't know as much about it as I do. But anyways, you know, anyways, long story short, to me, Biden is just he's moronic. You listen to Joe Rogan. You're doing a podcast. You do podcasts. Joe Rogan's the king of podcasts. And Joe Rogan, who's a self-proclaimed liberal, says Joe Biden is out of his mind. He's out of his mind. And that's the way I think of it. I think it's the worst president in our history. People want to go to Jimmy Carter. Bullshit. Jimmy Carter didn't do anything great, but, you know, he did have the peace accords with Sadat and Begin. Uh-oh, my wife's here yelling at me. What am I not doing? What? Oh, I'm swaying too much, evidently. Oh, she asked me not to swear too much. Oh, I talked to freaking Hank, and that's why I'm glad you're guest hosting. Hank scolded me last Thursday. He's like, you're swearing way too much. I'm like, really? Well, I can't wait till Vito comes back because Vito won't scold me for that. Oh, my wife's, she's saying, nope, stop it. But yeah, you got to admit, I haven't been that bad tonight.
No, you haven't been that bad. You did good.
Yeah. Well, I think Joe Biden's a fucking idiot.
There you go.
To say that.
Ooh,
oh, I
let
hate
me
the
press
guy.
The button.
Hold on a second.
Well, you're not going to get an objection from me. I'm going to respect Hank's show, and you know I'll go off on my own show with regards to Biden. But I just can't believe that this guy got 81 million votes. You know, the crowds. Trump had 25,000-30,000 people in crowds, and even in blue states, and you had Biden with 26 circles, individual circles, and he had two empty circles. I mean, he commanded 12 people at functions. You're telling me that he ran a campaign, a lethargic campaign out of the basement. And
I told Hawkeye Mike, they both didn't listen to me. I said to both of them, Biden's going to win. And they're like, how do you explain that? I'm like, it's real simple. Hatred is a more powerful motivator than love or respect or whatever you want to call it. In other words, people hated Trump so much that they specifically voted against him. I was appalled by the election. Now, Hank will say that he thinks the election was stolen. To me, that's conspiratorial. Hank and I have different views there. It was not stolen, and I'm not going to go down Hillary Clinton's road path of 2016 when she said it was stolen. I'm like, no, it wasn't. So I'm not going to play that game. That being said, fear is a much better – people don't realize it. Fear is a much better motivator than love, and people don't get it. And that's where your soliloquy on how ridiculous the school boards and shit like that are was poignant. Yeah, very poignant.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. I think we have – we might have Hawkeye Mike on here. Hold on a second. I'm going to bring him on. Is this Mike?
Yeah, Vito. How you doing? This is Hawkeye Mike. How's it going,
Tom?
How
you doing, Hawkeye?
Hey, Mike. Well,
pretty good.
I know
I heard
threw you under the bridge in a sense, but I really didn't.
No, I heard Tom spouting off, so I was going to hold out until we got to the sports stuff, but I thought I'd come in a little early so that Tom didn't monopolize everything with the Vito. By the way, Vito, it's my first time talking to you. I've listened to you, but I think it's the first time we talked.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I appreciate you you joining in tonight. I'm looking forward to the college football picks. I got some doozies for you guys. So.
And I usually use politics for Mike. He's much more adverse in politics than I am, but I do get it gets under my skin. Believe me, the two of you could add your conservative beliefs together, and it wouldn't hit mine. I'm just so anti Joe Biden. It's just ridiculous. I know Mike is a staunch conservative.
Let me agree with you on one thing there. What you're saying, and this is maybe where I differ with Hank a little bit. Maybe you too, Vito. I don't know. But I do agree with you on the stolen election conspiracy stuff. But maybe for slightly different reasons. It's the lawyer in me, and that is that if you are going to make an allegation, as you know some have and as Trump continually does, that the election was stolen, you got to have solid evidence. And the problem is, look, do I think there were shenanigans? Yes. Do I think that the rules were changed in a lot of these states, like Pennsylvania, a lot of these, by the Democrats, using COVID? Yes. But there, I have not seen anything that shows that there has been fraud on a scale that this election was a stolen election, and I'm somebody who every day regrets that Biden won. But the bottom line,
I can't fucking believe he won. I can't fucking believe
40,000 votes in three states. Yeah. 40,000 votes in three states: Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Arizona, I guess Georgia. Four states. Not leave out Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Arizona, Georgia. Changed 40,000 votes, and Trump's reelected. And
well,
it's
my
just,
consternation
it's just
much
too
more
bad.
Simplistic than yours, Hawkeye Mike, in the sense that, and this is why I do agree with Hank, who, like I said, is my biological brother. if we're bitching about the fact that Hillary Clinton kept on claiming for 4 years the election was stolen, and we were like, well, right, that's a fallacy, why are we allowed to suddenly say it? And that's my – see, I simplify things because I'm not that intelligent. I'll be the first to admit it. But don't
well,
you know,
the thing is, it might have been stolen, but you got to have the evidence to really, you know, be going around saying that. And I just
haven't
seen it.
I agree 100%. Yes, what you just said is absolutely right. Yes. All right. I'm sorry. That's my nature. But you're absolutely right.
My take on it is this, and I am going to go back to the 2016 election since we brought up Hillary Rotten Clinton. I think that the swamp, the establishment, was so shocked by the fact that the people voted for an outsider like Donald Trump, and they did it in such a fashion that Hillary didn't know what hit her. And I think that Hillary had no choice but to go down the road of a rigged election, because here's a woman who started the Russian collusion narrative. She helped finance it with Christopher Steele.
Yep.
And you can say what you want, but it was also the Obama-Biden administration who fostered that with the DOJ, specifically hierarchies in the FBI, to further that false narrative. And the one thing that really impressed me
with power, sorry to interrupt the FBI.
I'm sorry,
individual.
That's where the distraction is, Tommy. It wasn't the FBI. It was people inside the FBI, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, and I'm not sure about the other a couple of other
the DOJ
maybe,
not the FBI. Wrong.
No, not the FBI, but I'm telling you, there were members inside the FBI, and that's where the distraction is, to indict the entire FBI. And it was a brilliant campaign by the left, and it still is, to demonize Trump every day. Every day that man was badgered, he was beaten, and he was abused every day.
But where your soliloquy today was so beautiful, and this is where Hawkeye Mike and I disagree. Hawkeye Mike is an optimist. Hawkeye Mike's like, oh, we're going to do it at the voting ballot. No, we're not, because the masses are asses. I always text it, and people are not like, we have a group text, and they're
well,
like, you know
what,
Tom,
what do you think is
going to
happen next
shit.
Year, Tom? Tom, what do you think is going to happen at the midterms next year?
I think Biden is fucking it up so much that we might get a victory, but I have no positive opinion about the voting populace as you do.
Do I think there's a lot of dumbasses out there? Hell yes. But I'm telling
you,
it's going to be a red wave next year.
People are going to get logical. People don't be logical. People weren't logical in 2020.
When you look
at
what happened with the COVID, with the entire press. Well, when you look at what happened with COVID, which the entire press beat up Trump for a whole year on that, leading up to the election, or nine months, whatever, and everything else that happened, and he barely lost, and it was a record turnout for Trump, and you know, they didn't see it coming, and I think they thought they had it in the bag on election night, and it was you know. I'm not saying there wasn't fraud. I'm just saying there's no. You have to show me the proof.
I agree 100%.
You know,
and I'm in the
and
wrong.
Now, you know, we're a year out from the election, so Trump needs to put that. If he's going to run again, he needs to put that behind. Talk about how we got to have fair elections going forward, but stop the stolen crap. Okay, people don't want to hear that now.
Right.
I agree with that, and
that was his problem with Twitter and stuff. But the thing is, I will say, and I fucking hate to admit this because it makes me an asshole, but he was a good president. People don't realize that. He got things done. My sister will say,
yeah, I think more of them do
he's
now.
A businessman.
Don't you think there's
he
a lot of buyer's remorse?
Yes.
There's a whole
yes,
lot of
I
buyer's
do.
Remorse out
yes,
there.
Yes, there's a lot of buyer's remorse right now.
Time out. You guys mean buyer's remorse?
Biden's
bumping
you know, the basement campaign. He was never out there. They put him out as the anti-AOC, the
anti-Bernie
Sanders. So
you're saying 2020 buyer's remorse.
It was all a fraud.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I misunderstood. All right. My bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
At least that's what I think
Andy's
talking about, right?
He was a great president. I, you know what? fucking 92% of the black populace votes Democratic. And he did more for the black populace. He is not the evil person that he is portrayed as.
Right.
Yes, he's going to Twitter. He's going to do bullshit, and shame on him in a sense for that if you want to have a political career. Short of that, he did everything right. In my argument, and I know people disagree with me, but in my argument, he's actually, everyone talks about Reagan, but he's actually, to me, one of the best presidents. And I know
I'd like to hear Vito's take on this, too. COVID doesn't come along. You know, remember what the economy was like in, like, February 2020. COVID doesn't happen. Do either one of you think Trump wouldn't have won? Because I think he would have won pretty easily.
He would have won hands down.
It changed everything,
I'm disagreeing with you guys there, and I'll make it real quick because you don't understand the power of hatred. People hated Trump, and they came out to vote.
Those people don't decide elections. It's the uninformed, what I would call the uninformed dumbass middle, who votes on feelings and stuff like that.
That's right. You're absolutely right. That's my point. Independence. You know what I call independence? I call them Democrat lights, like beer. Independence. I listen to independent talk. They're like, I voted for Reagan. Yeah, they're like, I voted for Reagan. I'm like, yeah.
Those people put him in office
40 years ago.
Yeah.
Right.
They swung away from him in 2020.
Yeah, I know.
There's no way that Biden would have come up with the slogan "Build Back Better" because he wouldn't have been able to build back better. How do you build back better with a lower tax rate? And then he would have ran if he was to run on raising income taxes from 21% to 28%, and then also creating another tax code while the economy was moving. There's no way he would have. First of all, I'm not even sure that he would have been the nominee.
Some people talk about it like it's not true, but Biden's own president, Barack Obama at the time when Joe Biden was vice president, Barack Obama said, this guy fucks everything up. He fucks everything up. In other words, his own president didn't support him. And
he
that's
was wrong
where I differ.
On every decision.
Yeah, and that's where I differ from you, Hawkeye Mike. I don't think the American populace gets it. I don't think it. I hope you prove me wrong. I hope we have this conversation.
I think they're starting to.
I hope so.
Election Day 2020 might have been right because you have these certain element of people that voted Trump in 2016.
Jesus Christ, they bought into the orange man bad,
and they swung back to Biden, who passed himself off fraudulently as a moderate. Are these people gullible? They are. But I think that like Vito agrees with me, there's a lot of buyer's remorse out there, and they're seeing, this guy. First of all, I don't think there's much of a chance he's going to be their Democratic candidate in 2024.
And I doubt he's even going to be president in
2024. But, do they really want to go with Kamala Harris?
Hawkeye Mike, I'm going to steal the conversation, Vito.
Hawkeye Mike, do you have anything positive to say about Joe Biden? Anything?
He's not Kamala Harris.
That's a less of a negative as opposed to a positive. I literally cannot figure out one fucking positive thing to say about the guy.
This is why I don't call in to Bob's show about politics, or Hank's show about politics,
because I know it's going to infuriate me. I got nothing positive to say about the guy. And what infuriates me is that the American public put this guy into office. I just don't get it.
Maybe you guys are more politically astute than I am. Quinnipiac pullout today, which is notorious for oversampling Democrats, has Biden at 38% approval. I mean, I'm eight months
into a presidency, you're 38.
Well, that's where I feel positive.
I mean,
about
that is
what
a
you
disaster.
Say is, yeah, if he's that fucking dumb and he has been fucking an idiot, that, yes, he may sway the populace inadvertently. But that's my point, inadvertently.
He's a disaster.
I'm sorry. American
Kamala
voters
Harris
dumb.
Would be a catastrophe. That's
yeah.
the difference.
Yeah.
Oh
my gosh.
You know what? You know what? Mike, you just said it all. All right. You just said it all. Could you imagine Kamala Harris as our president? Are you kidding me?
That's what you get if you don't
yes,
have
right.
Oh, well, I know. That's what
I mean.
That's
my point.
That's
the
baby,
choice.
Stop yelling at me. My wife keeps yelling at me because she says I'm swearing too much. I'm not swearing that much. But, I mean, Hawkeye, Mike, that's a valid point. What's the alternative? Kamala Harris? Well, she will not win that primary because she's too dumb. It's going to be someone that's more to the middle and all that. They're going to play the same fucking card they always play.
They won't be. They'll just fraudulently try to pass themselves off that way.
Well,
you know,
right,
like, remember
that.
The old Rush
oh, yeah.
Limbaugh line about the Democrats? It's every day. It's how can we fool them today? That's what that's. You just have to remember that. And
I don't know when you chimed onto the show, Mike, but Vito had some very, very good points. These guys are fucking weird. And you know, my problem is I have a sister that has
show.
Grandkids, and that's why, once again, I don't talk about politics. That has grandkids, and she tells me what's being taught to them in the schools. Now, think about it. This is what no one gets. Everyone talks about politicization and all that. It's academia that is killing this country. And I mean, I don't even mean the colleges. I mean from first grade on up. And I have a friend, a good friend, who's a card-carrying communist in the sense that he's in the teachers' union. And you know what he does? He spouts this shit off on Facebook. I don't do Facebook anymore, but he used to spout this shit on Facebook, and I'm like, this is not right, man. This is not right. Kind of like Vito was saying about the First Amendment. Now, the Second Amendment, I disagree with you. That's a solid argument. But the First Amendment is freedom of speech. You really want to take that away?
Yes. That's the goal of the Democrat Communist Party. I mean, look
yeah,
how
I
they're
agree
doing
with that, but I'm just saying
the
Second Amendment,
doing
the I don't care
thing that
Vito agree with necessarily.
Baby,
they
want to go after parents who have the audacity to show up at these school board meetings and challenge what's going on with the CRT, with the,
no, I was listening
you know,
to
the
shit.
Neutral
like,
bathrooms
are you fucking
and the mask mandate.
I'm literally listening to Vito's, like I said, soliloquy, and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? And then I remembered I watched Gutfeld last night, and he said the same thing about these parents. These parents speaking up for their rights, but being told, you have no rights because you don't think like we do. And that's where
that's
I've
exactly
given up on politics.
Is.
And you guys are much more versed.
Well, if you
2 years ago, 2 years ago, I was versed in it, but I'm not anymore because I don't give a fuck anymore. But it does drive me crazy if you haven't noticed.
What was that, Indy? Mike. Okay, you're gonna say something?
I just say if you give up, you know. Then you know you really surrender everything. So that
to a certain extent. But Hank last week was like, "All right, I want you all to go write your congressman." Sorry, that ain't gonna happen. We don't do that. It's not gonna happen. In other words, I don't like platitudes. I don't like simple solutions for complex problems. And that's the only problem. And I'm not getting down on Hank. Hank's got some, and Vito pointed it out earlier. He's got some tremendous points. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying, come on. I mean, don't throw platitudes as an answer. That's what the Democrats do.
Well, you know,
Hank's
not willing to give up either, Tom. And you know,
and I agree
mean, all
that.
Right, is he pie in the sky on a couple things? Maybe, but I'd rather see that than just like it's all over. You can just pack it in and you know, watch.
And
I'm
in a ladder boat. I admit it. I'm in
a
ladder boat. I am a pack it in guy. My glass is half empty, not half full. And that's why, Hawkeye Mike, you think I always fuck with you because I do, but I wish I was more like you. Your glass is half full. Mine's not. It's not. I listen to these dumb motherfuckers at the bars. Oh, I'm not supposed to say motherfucker. I forgot. Okay. I listen to these dumb fuckers at the bar. Says he doesn't. Hank says he doesn't mind if I say fucker. He just doesn't like motherfucker.
All right.
Anywho, I listen to them at the bar, and I listen to them spiel their bullshit, and that's where I'm just like, I'm sorry. The voting populace is fucked. I'm sorry, guys. We're fucked. Now, Hawker Mike is right in the sense that...
You have to remember one thing, Tom. You're forgetting completely about this. And, I think you'll agree with me on this. That election, which Trump barely lost, with all the crap that was going on and all the attacks on him for 4 years, the Republicans picked up 14 seats in the House, won a whole bunch of Senate seats that everybody thought they were going to lose.
It's not going to happen anymore, Hawkeye Mike.
It was not by any measurement a disastrous election, other than the fact that we got Biden.
But what I'm telling you is about the future. I'm talking about the future.
Well, I mean, look what's going to happen. I guarantee you, it's a red wave in 2022. I think I've been following politics most of my life, and I can get a feel for these things. And it's just
why would you think you'd be following
this,
politics and, most of your life? Either you know that you have, or you know that you haven't.
I'm telling you, I know that I have, and
okay.
I'm telling
that's
you,
better.
It's a red wave. And Tom, if you want to have a little bet on this, you know, I'm happy to do it.
You know, I was saying it, but last week, it's a blessing that I'm broke. Because I would have lost every fucking game last week I would have bet on. I wish I could.
Because
you're going to see that the American populace, the voter, is full of shit. That's what you're going to see. Now, where you do have a little bit of argument on your side is Biden has been fucking it up so bad that maybe even the Democrat lights, which we call independents, but they're fucking Democrat lights, don't kid yourself, might sway. And we all know that the elections are contingent upon the, quote, and I put it in quotes, independents. But, unfortunately, I'm broke.
If we were to embrace what you say, we'd just all pack it in and just turn everything over to the Democrats.
And that's my problem.
Don't ever listen to a guy whose glass is half empty.
Trust me on that one. Don't. It's got no future. I admit it. What you're saying is absolutely right. Don't listen to a guy whose glass is half empty. Listen to a guy like Mike whose glass is half full. Hey, let's change the scenario. But I'm just saying that's the way I'm predisposed, whether it be genetically or whatever. That's just the way I am. I think Biden's fucked it up so much, we might be in big, like you're saying, we might be in for a big shot.
You're kind of contradicting yourself here.
No, I'm not.
Well, actually,
no, not.
What's happening is, Hawkeye, I think you're having an impact on you're having an impact on Tommy, is what you're doing, and you're actually making him feel good because he sees that there is hope, and there is hope. So I think you got him, Hawkeye.
Yeah. Oh, I love Hawkeye Mike. He's the eternal optimist. He shouldn't be, but he is. I love it.
Am I saying anything that the illustrious Hank doesn't agree with?
No.
I did dip my toe into Hank's pool
and say Hank's necessarily right. In fact, I think I've disagreed with half the shit that Hank has said. We have disagreements. Yes, we're biological brothers, but I have disagreements with him. That's my only point. I think you guys are too optimistic.
We're gonna go on to sports here, and I'm gonna end with this, Bigfoot did post in the chat room what Barack Obama did say about bumbling Biden, and he said, never underestimate Joe's ability to F things up. And that was from Barack Obama.
Right. Exactly.
There you go.
Yeah.
So boy, I'm going to put you guys on hold. I'm going to play a song. I'm going to take a quick break here for 2 minutes. White Rabbit. Okay. I'm not going to play any of this porn star music, porn music that Hank plays. I'm going to play some real music.
Beto, I've never fancied you clever, but that's actually a pretty clever statement.
Thank you. I felt like, you know, is my lava lamp going here or what?
Get lava lamps in full exposure. I love it. All right, I'll shut the fuck up. All right,
I'm gonna
two-minute break.
I'm going to put you on hold for a second, guys. Hold on. All right, we'll come back and we'll talk some sports here. Hold on. And we got about a two-minute break here, guys. Back with Hank Jones of Poly Sports. I'm Vito, sitting in for Hank, who's out on a little bit of a break, and he's celebrating his anniversary. So congratulations to Hank and Mrs. Hank. Started out as a shotgun wedding, and it's lasted. Nice to see that. So in sports, so yesterday was the Major League playoff game. The American League playoff game yesterday was the Red Sox versus the Yankees in a one-game playoff, and I see that the Red Stockings won 6-2 and now advanced to the best of five series against it doesn't really matter. Who cares? Tampa Bay Bucks, led by Tom Brady, played New England Patriots this past week, and it marked the first time Brady took on his old team, the New England Patriots, and it was also Brady is the second quarterback, I believe, in NFL history to face all 30 teams now that he's playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And guess what? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers won. Don't know the score. Didn't watch it. But 44 years old, I give Tom Brady a lot of credit. I mean, it has been what a career. I mean, having known a couple of retired NFL football players and seeing the shape that they are in today –
and a couple of them who have since passed, but to see the kind of shape that they're in, you know, 20 years after they played in the league, is just, it's incredible that at age 44 years old, you know, Tom Brady is still kicking and still performing at the highest level. So congratulations to Brady and the Bucks. So now we're on to college football. This is Hank's football forum. Now these guys know football. Well, maybe brother Tommy doesn't. He's kind of cold right now. But
all right. Can I even be heard? Am I even heard?
Yes, I got you. Now I got you live. I got Hawkeye Mike.
All right, you do have me live. Okay.
And if
Peabody
wants to chime
not
in,
White Magic. The name of the song is White Rabbit. Originally done by Janis Joplin, which is, no, you said White Magic, but okay.
Did I really?
That's fine.
Oh, it's White Rabbit.
Yeah,
I thought you said White Rabbit.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I fucked that up. All right. Now, Michael, you can go back into saying how fucked up my picks were. And guess what? One thing Brother Tommy does is he misses or admits to his fuck-ups. Last week, I fucking laid a turd. I will give you that. All right.
So let me review.
You did call Maryland and Iowa correct. You said it wouldn't be close, and I thought it would be close.
Let me review a couple of what happened. So it was a big thing about Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. So Alabama rolls over Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss.
Jeez Christ.
Georgia trounced Arkansas. Shut them right down. I mean, Zippo. Now, this is what's interesting, and I've got a theory, and you guys are more versed in it than I, but number 3 ranked Oregon got beat by Stanford. I noticed a pattern.
Which I should have called.
Any team that's ranked number 3 is going down the next week. So far, it's happened. Florida Gators got beat by the University of Kentucky, and I just read where Kentucky got fined $250,000 for fans storming the field. That's interesting. And then number 7, Cincinnati beat Notre Dame 24-13, handling them pretty good.
That's one I fucked up on big. Because I had Notre Dame in my fucking Final Four.
Penn State got blanked by Conference Indiana.
No, they did not.
Penn State blanked Indiana 24-0.
Correct.
And then Michigan continued their dominance, and they handed Wisconsin its second loss in a row. So.
Beto, can I quickly interject to Hawkeye Mike?
Yes.
Hawkeye Mike. You gotta admit that was a pretty fucking impressive. And you know me, I'm a cynic. That was a pretty fucking impressive win on Friday night against Maryland. I'm like, what the?
Yeah, I didn't see that score coming. I have to say, I mean,
I knew we were going to win by 2 touchdowns, but I didn't know we were going to win by 5.
Well, you know, you call me an optimist, but I've been worried about the Iowa offense. But what I saw, and they, I mean, I'm not saying that's like now they're, you know, hit pay dirt, but that was a big improvement, and it gives me hope that the offense is, you know, they don't have to be fantastic with this defense. They just have to be adequate and don't screw up.
And
right,
I would
so what,
agree with
what
that.
Was the
until
key
you
to
come
that
up
win.
Against Alabama or Georgia, yes, you're right. Until you
what
come
was
up
the key to score
Alabama
50 points against – you know, yeah, against Maryland. What was the key?
You're not going to get an argument from me. I was actually impressed, and I'm usually the pessimist. That's why I hope that Indy Hawk calls in, because he's like me. He's a pessimist, and he talks about 7 to 8 wins. I'm like, are you kidding me? We're going to get at least 10 wins. But I like the pessimistic viewpoint, because it's honest. It's not emotion. It's not based on emotion. But I'll tell you what, when I watched it last Friday night, and in fact, I passed out by the fourth quarter. I'm like, oh, shit. I don't even get what's going on. We look good. We could have played with any team in the country that night. I'm not saying we are a top 5 team. I kind of agree with Indy Hawk. But that night, we looked damn good. Oh, and Vito, I owe you an apology. I think I did it on Bob's show last week. Are you even there, Vito? Can you hear me?
I'm here.
I owe you an apology. A couple of weeks ago when you substituted for Hank, I had told you that Notre Dame was in the ACC. They were for the COVID year, and I even knew it in the back of my mind. but I put out misleading information to your viewers and all that, and so I apologize for what
well,
that's worth.
I want to bring on Indy. Indy Hawk. Indy's on, so say hello to Indy Hawk.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, Indy Hawk. How you doing?
Not too bad.
All right. So the
more
first order of business. Cincinnati puts a hurting on the undefeated Notre Dame last week, and this week they take on Temple. Cincinnati goes from ranked number 7 to number 5. Are they worthy of that number 5 ranking?
Fuck no. The answer to that is two-word answer. Fuck no. No, they're not.
You know, I disagree. I think they are. You know, I think they were clearly better than Notre Dame. Maybe Notre Dame's been overrated. They usually are, but you know, I don't know. The problem is they don't play anybody for the rest of the year.
Yeah, the problem is there's four SEC teams and five Big Ten teams that could beat them. And so, which means by definition they're not top
Maybe.
Five. I'm sorry, I'm just disagreeing. My bad. All right, go ahead.
All right, so obviously they're taking on Temple, 3-2. Temple's not going to be, you know, they're not a real powerhouse. So, I mean, it should be easy for Cincinnati. What is it? They're in the AAC conference, right? The Atlantic
American,
conference, I believe.
Yeah.
American Atlantic conference. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Cincinnati absolutely schools them. Going to be a three touchdown win.
Yeah, they're favored by 29 points. So,
yeah, which is a 4-touchdown win. Yeah, so I'm not far off.
All right, Saturday afternoon at 12 o'clock, Oklahoma, number 6, takes on Texas, number 21. Oklahoma's 5-0. The over-under is 63.5. What do you think?
Go ahead,
Andy Hawk.
Conversation. Yeah.
I'm going to go Oklahoma on this. It's an SEC showdown. Oh, wait, I'm gone yet, have I? Yeah, I'm going Oklahoma.
All right, Mike, Hawkeye?
I like to have, it's not that big of an upset, but it's a mild upset. Texas is starting to play good again, and I've just been a little bit like Oklahoma's a little suspect. I'm going with Texas to pull the upset.
All right. How about Tebow? I want to hear from T. Bodie. What does he think? Does he think that
I just want you to all know I was the only one that was 9-1 last week.
Yeah, but I think I was 10-0, wasn't I?
Incidentally,
I don't know what I was.
T. Bodie, you're not.
I don't know what I was.
Go ahead,
actually. Yeah.
Mike, Hawkeye, Mike Bacon, too. Hank, for a proxy for Indy, was 8-2, and Tom was 6-4.
Ooh.
Okay, well, congrats.
Well, I fucking picked upsets. I picked Rutgers beating Ohio State. You guys aren't man enough to pick upsets. You just do what the line tells you to do. Sorry.
Yeah, that was a great call.
I'll tell you what, I fucking hate – I'm chiming in here. I fucking hate always agreeing with Hawkeye Mike, but I agree with him. I think Texas beats Oklahoma. I do.
Really? Okay. And Oklahoma's favored by 3.5 points, by the way.
Yeah, well, that's nothing.
Right.
That's nothing. But, no, I agree with Hawkeye Mike. I think his analysis, Texas is getting better. They've kind of got a Michigan/Nebraska vibe. They're getting better.
I'm going with Texas because they're playing in Texas. It's only a 3.5 point spread, and I think Oklahoma's fragile.
I do too. I mean, you're preaching to the choir on that one. They're preaching to the choir on that one. Jesus. Oklahoma's the overrated team in the country. All right, go on. I'm sorry.
All right, so Hawkeye and Mike, we'll start with you on this one. Ohio State, Maryland. Maryland, of course, got shellacked by Iowa. You got Ohio State at 4-1, ranked number 7. 21-point favorite is Ohio State. 71 is the over-under.
Mm. What?
Over, and I'd take Ohio State and the points, and I just, you know, Maryland, I think obviously it kind of was a snowball thing last week, but they've got that Demas out, and he's a huge weapon for them, and I just,
You know, they're not. Ohio State is not going to lose this game in Columbus. I think they win by at least.
Well, Vito just said it was in Maryland.
No, it's in Ohio State.
My bad. Yeah, no, Ohio State's going to win easily. I think Ohio State's starting to get rolling, I think, and they'll win.
Tebow, what do you think?
Yep, Ohio State to cover.
All right, brother Tommy.
Echo sentiment. Ohio State is not going to lose another game this year. Unless they play Iowa, maybe. That'll be emotional.
Big Ten championship.
Point being, Ohio State is the real deal. They fucking finally got their defense ready, and they're good. Okay.
How about Indy?
They have.
I'm going Ohio State. They got the best wide receiver core they've ever had. But I think Maryland will keep it. I think Maryland will keep it under 21.
Okay. That's interesting. All right. So here's the long shot from last week. It was Rutgers. Rutgers is playing at home against number 11, Michigan State. We know who Tommy's going to take, but who do you guys know? Just kidding. So Michigan.
That's not fair. That was mean.
Michigan State
Tommy's
favored by 5.5.
Open book, really? I think I try to be clever with you guys.
The over-under is 50, and Michigan State is favored by 5.5. Hawkeye?
I think I'd go under on the 50. I think that, Rutgers got trounced last week. I think they play better. I think Michigan State will win, but it'll be a close game, and it'll be relatively low scoring. I'm going to say something like, 24-17, something like that, Michigan State. But it'll be a tough game. Rutgers will play better.
All right. Indy.
Michigan State, low-scoring game.
Low-scoring? Tebow.
You know, I'm going to have to go with Tom on Rutgers this week as my
upset. You don't know I'm going to say that. I'm not that predictable, you motherfuckers.
There you are.
Well, I'm going to say it, but you guys don't know I'm going to say it, but I'm going to say it. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm out there. I take Rutgers.
Rutgers, okay. All right. Tommy.
On the roof.
Okay, my wife's in the background screaming at me. Okay, yes. All right. You think you guys are so fucking clever. You're really not. You just fucking predict my patterns. It's not clever. But, yes, I'm going Rutgers.
You're going Rutgers. Okay. I'm going with State. I think that the D'Antonio era is over, and I think that they've opened it up. So
I'll tell you what, I love this Michigan State coach. I think his last name's Turner. I could be wrong.
Yeah,
but I love him. He talks the game.
But it'll be a tough game.
I think Rutgers is. But remember, guys. I do throw in a couple of upsets every week, which is why I'm 6-4 instead of 9-1. You know, that's what I do. You know, I'm a gambler.
All right. Well, here's a game that you can gamble on, and this one I think is going to be interesting. 2-4-1 teams both got their first losses last week. Number 13 Arkansas versus number 17 Ole Miss, and is Ole Miss overrated with Lane Kiffin as coach?
Yes. Sorry.
All right. Well, bro, go ahead, Tommy. You go first.
I'll go first, Arkansas, till the cows come home.
Arkansas.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. All right. Indy.
I don't like the road teams, but Arkansas is obviously a road team, and I'm predicting they win. Okay. I'll shut that
up. All right. I'm going Arkansas to bounce back.
All right. Ooh, all right.
Arkansas. I'll make it a quorum on Arkansas.
All right.
And, yeah, I'll make it anonymous. I think Arkansas wins.
Yeah, interesting. All right. Yeah. And it's an SEC matchup, too. So Ole Miss is favored by 5.5 points. It is a 66.5 over-under. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to go outside the box on this one. I'm going with Ole Miss.
God, I don't gamble.
Yeah, you might be right.
but I'm not saying any swear word. God's a word in the Bible, and damn is a word in the Bible. So don't know. My wife's
all right.
But I swear too much. She's like, please promise you're not going to swear
the real
on Vito's
here
show.
Are we going to get through all these scores before Tom's wife files for divorce?
I do have this. I do have this ready for him just in case. So.
rightfully,
all right,
he probably will rightfully. All right, go ahead. All right, you guys.
All right. So here's another one. Number 20, Florida Gators versus Vanderbilt. Gators are 3-2. I just think they've been overrated. I think they were elevated a little bit too high, and I see them beating Vanderbilt, but I don't think it's going to be a 38.5 point routing, but could be wrong on that one.
Which game?
Florida versus Vanderbilt at Florida at the Swamp.
I'm Florida.
Well, yeah, Florida's going to win big. Vanderbilt's
okay.
Pretty bad. I think Florida covers.
Okay.
Florida.
Indy got Florida. And, bro, Tommy.
Florida does not cover, but they win. They do not cover. Their offense is very suspect. And I say this as three kids either having gone to or going to University of Florida. I watch the team. They don't cover, but they do win.
All right. Now, number 18, Auburn's playing at home, and they're hosting the Georgia Bulldogs, ranked number 2. Let's start with Tebow.
Oh, I'm on Georgia on that.
All right.
Auburn, they thought they were.
Yeah, I agree with that part. Yeah. Indy.
I like Georgia big. I think the SEC's only got two teams this year.
All right. Hawkeye.
Yeah, you took Arkansas.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah,
in.
I have to agree. I have to agree with T. Bodie and Indy Hawk. Georgia. I mean, that game against Arkansas, they looked just really tough. They're going to win. It's at Auburn, but Georgia wins easy, I think.
Tommy.
Yeah, the guys, I texted this yesterday. The guys don't respond to my texts for whatever reason. They don't like me. But Georgia is the best team in the country right now. So, yes, Georgia freaking demolishes them. Georgia is the best team in the country. They've got an Iowa-like defense, and they've got a sufficient offense. They're the best team in the country, and Alabama's going to see that one.
Didn't Auburn replace Bo Nix at one point in the last game, was it? And they took him out.
Well,
put
but
in
I'm,
the...
I'm screaming the powers of maybe I phrased it wrong. I'm saying Georgia wins and they win.
Yeah. Oh no, I understand. I was just wondering about. I was reading about Bo Nix. You know, he's the son of his father played for, right? But they make a big thing about Bo Nix, but he was benched for one of the quarters a couple of weeks ago, which I thought was kind of surprising.
Georgia is a very, very good team. In fact, you could argue, Hawkeye might take a different stance, but you could argue Georgia's the best team in the last 5, 6, 7 years. And I know, we all know Alabama's got some great teams, but Georgia's very, very good. Don't discount Georgia people. Trust me on that. Other than Alabama, Georgia's not going to lose other than Alabama. And that's where the coin toss comes. We'll do this in 5, 6 weeks, whatever, whenever they play in the SEC.
So Navy is hosting number 24, SMU. It's a conference game. Navy's abysmal, 1-3. They did beat Hank's adopted team, the UCF Knights, last week. They're playing 5-0 SMU in Annapolis. What do you got there? Start with Tebow.
Jeez, where'd you pull that game out of?
It's actually a fair question.
This is a precursor to the next one. So.
That game's not on my radar.
Oh, okay.
Fair question. He's right. Yeah. But now you got to come up with an answer. Invent one.
You know what? I'm going to have to go with just SMU, I guess. They're favored, and
yeah, 13.5 points.
I don't know anybody. I don't know either of those teams, but I'll take SMU.
Hawkeye.
Yeah, I think, Navy's bad. Go with SMU. SMU's the one team that might be able to do something against Cincinnati that's left on Cincinnati's schedule. SMU wins.
I agree with you on that one. Tebow.
I already went SMU.
Oh, you went to. That's right. India. Indy.
SMU.
SMU. Okay. Tommy.
SMU.
And I'm at SMU.
Without a doubt.
All right. So we got Bigfoot in the house. So Bigfoot's number, Virginia Tech is 3-1. They take on Notre Dame, ranked number 14 in Lane Stadium in Blacksburg, Virginia. And you got Notre Dame is favored by 1 point. Over and under is 47. What do you guys like in this one, Virginia Tech or Notre Dame?
In honor of Bigfoot, I got Virginia Tech.
I like it. All right.
Notre Dame is not what they thought.
I agree with you that one. Hawkeye.
Notre Dame, I think they're going to lose. I think Virginia Tech's not bad. Bad Virginia Tech. I think they're reeling a little bit. Maybe it's a little bit of an upset. I'm going to go with Virginia Tech.
All right, Tommy.
I cannot believe how dumb my compadres are. Notre Dame wins by three touchdowns.
Three touchdowns?
Wins by three touchdowns. And I'm not playing with you guys. I'm being totally serious. Notre Dame wins by three touchdowns. Once again, thank God I have no fucking money to put on it, and I don't have a bookie, but I'm telling you, they win by three touchdowns. They win by three touchdowns.
Now,
last week I was telling you, fucking Rutgers is going
to
beat Ohio State, and I said it with such conviction, you all were probably like, ooh, maybe Brother Tommy knows something. Reality, Brother Tommy doesn't know shit. Okay, I get that. But right. Notre Dame wins by three touchdowns. It's not even going to be fucking close. I love Virginia's quarterback. All right, I'm not going to elaborate. I love it, the quarterback, but no, Notre Dame wins by three touchdowns.
Who did they miss you, Tebow?
No, you got me. I got V-Tech.
Okay.
They all got V-Tech, but they're all
Indy.
Morons.
I'll take Notre Dame by three by a field goal.
Ooh, okay.
Now that's interesting.
All right.
It'll be a good game, I think. Yeah.
I think it will be too. It's 7:30 Saturday night, so it should be a really good game.
Bigfoot says
Vatek Notre Dame is going to be a low scoring game.
Well, it's 47 points is the over under on that one.
Okay, let me tell you guys something real quick. I'm going to be the pontificator here. Bigfoot is full of shit. All right, go on.
How about those Giants?
Bigfoot. Exactly. How about those Jets? Yeah, you fucking haven't won a game, but you're still a believer in them, you dumb motherfuckers. Ooh, my wife. Ooh, my wife.
Oh,
probably heard
man.
Oh, that's not good. That's not good.
all right. We got, Saturday night, you've got 3-3 Nebraska hosting number 9, Michigan. Michigan is favored by only 3.5 points, and it's 50.5 over under. We'll start with Indy.
I hate to do this, but I'm going to go Nebraska on this one.
Whoa. All right. Why?
They've got a lot of talent, and they're playing better. He has a lot of talent, but... And they're starting to get a little bit better, but we'll see.
All right. Tebow.
Gosh. You know, this is going to be the next to the Iowa-Penn State game. This is going to be a good game. 50 points over under. I'm going to have to go with Michigan. Nebraska still has issues.
Okay. Tommy.
Indy is absolutely right. Nebraska, short of Iowa, because I'm an Iowa honk. Nebraska will not lose again this year. They are very coming up. Totally Nebraska. Nebraska is my
all right, Hawkeye.
Yeah, you know, I hate to say this because I can't stand Nebraska, but I do think they're getting better. Their defense is impressive. It's really tough. It's Iowa's after Penn State. It's Iowa's toughest game they have left.
Correct.
Michigan, though, was impressive against Wisconsin. It's at Nebraska, and I'm probably going to be wrong on this, but I think Nebraska edges it out.
No, and why you're right on that is because of the fact that it is Nebraska. Actually, you just put what most sports bettors would say. I'm on the fence, so I'm going to go with the home team. And that's the deal. I think you're absolutely right with that prognostication because you agree with me. So whenever anyone agrees with me, I'm always happy with it.
3.5 points is not a lot, and that's not a big spread. But I tell you, I think Michigan's made me a believer, and I'm going to go with Michigan against Nebraska. I just think Scott Frost is missing something.
I'm going to throw in my 2 cents there, which is going to contradict what I just said. Michigan might be the real deal. They might be, and I will happily agree to that. They're good, and guess what? If you want to win in the Big Ten, have a running offense, and that's what Michigan's. I can go either way. I'm going Nebraska. I don't think when you veto, I don't think Bob's going on another honeymoon or whatever the fuck he's doing. Or excuse me, Hank. If you do substitute, I'm sure I'm going to make an apology for my messed up opinions, but I'm going Nebraska, but yeah, you could be right. Yeah. Interesting quagmire. It's a quagmire.
It's a quagmire. It's a good game.
Yeah, it should
be
a good game.
Oh, it's a very good game.
It's a hell of a game, I think.
I think.
Well, here's a good game.
I think it's
game.
A night game, too.
It is. Yep. It's a... It is a 7:30 start, ABC. Next game, this one's going to be interesting. And I still believe that Jimbo Fisher is overrated, and I'm not surprised by Texas A&M's 3-2 record. They're 0-2 in the SEC, and they are hosting number one Alabama. Night game, 8 o'clock, CBS. I just don't see Alabama losing. How about you, Tebow?
Alabama, don't see them losing. Until they do, you got to go with them.
Agreed. Tommy?
Only team Alabama's going to lose to this year is Georgia. I will say this, in your defense, you told me about Jimbo Fisher being overrated. And I'm like, okay, I think Beto might be a little bit full of shit, but you've been proven right. So I'm not a Texas A&M fan, and anyone plays Alabama short of Georgia, Alabama's going to win. So yeah, that's what it is.
All right, Hawkeye.
Alabama wins. Yeah, Texas A&M doesn't impress me. Alabama easy.
17.5 point favorite. Indy.
Yep, Bama rolls.
Bama rolls.
You know
like
what's
roll
interesting,
tie.
Vito and I. Going to quickly interrupt. You called it like 4 weeks ago. You were like, Jimbo Fisher, you told me this, and I'm pretty good at stuff like this, but you said to me, I'm not overly impressed with Jimbo Fisher, and I'm starting to believe what you're saying. Yeah, I get it.
Hey,
I gave a benefit of the doubt because he did win a national championship.
Yeah.
But that being said, I think you're right.
They weren't his draft picks. First of all, I like Jimbo Fisher. I thought he'd be a great replacement for Bobby Bowden, but they weren't his recruits. And then when his recruits started to come in and the Bobby Bowden era was officially gone, his teams did nothing, and he decimated Florida State. And look at Florida State today. They're reeling. They just won their first game.
That's why I reevaluated, and I'm like, okay, the Vito guy might be right, and I think he might be right on that. Yeah, I agree 100%. Yeah. I didn't when you told me it originally, but now I'm like, okay, the proof's in the pudding. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
I'll shut the fuck up.
All right, we'll go. We'll go with two more. This one, BYU.
We better be 5-0 the fucking Iowa game.
I'm just saving the best for last because you guys have some great analogies. You know, I'm not a. I don't follow. Just don't hold. Just go easy.
Do it your way.
Just relax. Okay. You got
I'm not good
BYU.
At relaxing. That's not my strong suit. I fucking wake up and I'm like, all right, 20-minute countdown, and you're going to be fucking depressed as hell. That's just the way my life works. All right,
you.
Go ahead. You got the floor.
I love you.
Okay, so you got number 10, BYU versus Boise State. Boise State's been overrated here. What do you think? It's at BYU. Afternoon game. BYU is favored by 6 points. Over and under is 56.5. We'll start with Hawkeye.
Yeah, I think they'll go over. I do think BYU is pretty good. And Boise State's not bad either, but at BYU, I think BYU wins.
All right, Indy.
BYU at home.
BYU at home. Great. Tebow.
Yep, because it's at home and BYU, you know, they got that whole Big 12 motivation going. BYU.
Bobby.
I echo all three of the guys. Because of it being at home, I echo all three of their sentiments. Yes, BYU.
Yeah, BYU here too. I mean, but then you look at the passing yard. Hank Bachmeier has got 1,520 yards passing, 11 TDs, but I think BYU shuts them down.
All right. Yeah, and that's a quagmire, but, you know, all right. Go ahead. I'm there.
This is, all right, the game that we've been waiting for. We've got at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City, Iowa, 5-0, 2-0 in the Big Ten, number 3-ranked Iowa versus number 4-ranked Penn State, also 5-0 and 2-0 in the Big Ten. Someone's going to come out with a losing record here. One Iowa's 1.5-point favorite, a 41 over under. That's interesting.
No.
Let's
That's
see. Let's
very interesting. You did. In fact, you understated it. All right, go on. I'll shut up.
All right. So let's start with Tebow on this one.
You know, I'm going to have to go. Iowa 31-21.
So he's taking the over, obviously.
Yeah, that's a low over-under for us.
Yeah, people aren't, I don't understand the over-under. That's a fucking weird over-under. I don't get that. I use
Are they going by Penn State's defense capability? Are they
yeah, I don't get it. Yeah, I'll have to think about it. All right, go on. Right. I'm sorry, Vito. I
All right. No, go ahead. Tommy, let's go with you.
I get, in spite of what I do, I get very emotional with Iowa, so I'm going to go Iowa. I think we are actually the better team, but it could be freaking Bama or Georgia, and I would still go with Iowa. That's just my emotional thing, but I think we win, and you prefaced it by saying at Kinnick Stadium, that's why I think we win, and I think actually we win convincingly. There again, two touchdown win.
Okay,
you two can continue to GoFundMe count. Get Ted to Kinnick.
Yeah, it's going to be a great atmosphere, and obviously I'm not going to go against the Hawkeyes. I think they win. Penn State, I have a lot of respect for. They're a good team, good defense, but Iowa wins it. And I think they win it. It's going to be a low-scoring game, but I think they win something like 20-10, something like that.
All right, so that's the 33
points. Which is
points.
Interesting, which is why one would want to go the under. Yeah, that's interesting. Okay. I don't agree with that necessarily.
Yeah, I'm going under.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
They're not my
Andy.
Bad.
Didn't we beat them 5-3?
The Hawks have been living off the turnovers, and that can't continue. But Petras has made a major move here the last 2 to 3 weeks. So I'm going to go 2017 Iowa. Shudek hits a field goal into the night at the greatest venue in college football.
All right. Well, you're wrong. I'm going to chime in. Where he's wrong is Petras has not made a great move. I agree with you on the defense. Petras has not made a great move. I am not a
you're
believer
wrong,
in
Tom,
Petras.
Yes. You're wrong.
Okay.
Yes.
Where has he done it?
I saw the game against Maryland, and he's looking better every game. The Iowa offense is getting better every game, and they needed to. And I think Petras is making strides.
I'm allowed to disagree.
I think I'm still allowed to disagree. Now, Vita was talking about the First Amendment, and maybe my rights are taken away. I am allowed to disagree, I think, and I totally disagree.
I don't think
I think our fucking defense is great.
You before.
Huh?
I said I don't think anyone's ever stopped you from voicing your opinions.
That's a good touche.
I don't recall that.
Touche moment. I give it to you.
Go on. What would score on?
Pete, I'm sorry to fucking hog your shit. Jesus Christ.
Go ahead, Indy.
They're wrong, Nate. Petras, they're wrong. They're pissing in the wind. They're hoping things that aren't reality. He's not a good quarterback. That's my only argument.
Here's the numbers on Petras. His first eight games last year, never completed 65%, not one, and didn't do it the first two games this year. Three games in a row, he has. So he's definitely playing better, and he's starting to play the ball down.
So the lack of his competence justifies his incompetence.
Can I ask you guys?
That argument makes no sense.
Hold on, I got a question for you guys. I've been watching a couple of games now, but since you guys follow it all the time, to me it looks like Tyler Goodson's playing more of a role in catching passes as well as running. Is that true? And is that helping?
I would agree with that. Yes,
Petras?
I would agree with that.
Is that helping Petras' numbers?
I'll give you fair game there. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Tom's making no sense, though. With all due respect, Tom, I think you picked Iowa to win. What was it, 27-13, something like that?
I think we win by three touchdowns.
Let me tell you, there's no way Iowa will win that convincingly if Petras doesn't play well. Just not going to happen.
My argument with you would be that's how good I think Iowa's defense is. That's my argument with you. I think Petras is overrated. In fact, I think he sucks. Now, is Padilla, who's our second-string quarterback, the answer? I'm not arguing that that's the answer, but Petras is not good. Did he have a good game against Maryland? Yes, but fucking analyze it. Why did he have a good game? Because we got turnovers on the 5-yard line, and the defense did it, not the offense. That's my only argument. Hey, I hope I'm proven wrong, just like I hope I'm proven wrong in 2022 with the election. But I will stick to my point. I'm not fucking going to capitulate to people. That's just not my nature.
Iowa won 6-4 in 2004. Jamarcus Russell.
It was actually 2002 against Penn State, and it was 6-3. So you're wrong. No offense.
It was six to four.
I don't give a shit. But it was 6-3, and it was 2003.
It was six to four.
2003 was 26-14 Iowa. 2004 was 6-4 Iowa.
Yeah, two safeties were Penn State's only points. Yep.
Wow.
1976, Iowa won
7-6. Guys, hey, listen. Yep. Next week, you guys are going to be calling my sorry ass out and say, hey, Tommy, you were 0-10. And I get it. But believe me, I'm better gambler than all of you. Believe me. If you don't want to believe me, that's your business. Mike, no offense. Half the time, you don't even know what the home team is. But that's the first order of business. Jesus Christ.
I was hoping you would.
I'm being a jerk off here, but I'm not really. I love you guys. I love you all. And I'm sorry I'm being a little bit bombastic. Is that the proper word? Bombastic.
Yep. I was hoping you wouldn't ask that question, and I got to tell you, what I'm nervous about, and I was hoping that Penn State would come in ranked number three. I am concerned about Iowa ranked number three. I just don't think it bodes well this year for teams, and I see Penn State pulling this one out. I'm worried about Petras.
Totally legitimate argument. Totally legitimate.
I hate to go into those feelings.
You're not going to get upset about it. Your blood's not going to boil. Mine and Hawkeye Mike's and Indy Hawk, our blood's going to boil. You're just wonk because you don't really give a shit. You know? Nor should you. Because you're not an Iowa.
Hey, Indy, what was your score pick?
2017 Iowa on a shootout field goal.
Okay.
And Hawkeye was 20-13.
That's a fucking retarded pick, but okay.
And Tebow, you were the only one that went over.
Oh, man.
You were on the over instead of the under. Over, under, Roger.
I love that movie, Airplane. It's going to be an interesting game in the sense that it is going to do the over, believe it or not. But they both have good defenses, which impresses the prognosticators to say it's going to be the under, but it is going to be the over. Yeah.
And so what's your
score? I don't
know.
My wife's in the other room. I think everyone's abandoning me. What the fuck's up with this? Vita, you got to start keep on guest hosting because are you involved with
that? Tom, I just want to say one thing, Tom. I hope next week when we do the picks that you talk a little bit more and, tell us what you really think.
Translation, Tom, you're a blowhard. I get it. I'm not a fucking idiot. I mean, yes, I am a fucking idiot, but not that much of an idiot.
I talk too much.
Guys, I get passionate. I'm like Del Griffin. Yeah, I talk too much, but I listen too much, too. So I do realize I'm a fucking blowhard. I get it.
Well, you know what?
You know what? I'm the only one that makes the goddamn show interesting. You all are fucking like, 2 + 2 = 4. I'm like, really? That makes the show interesting, you fucking morons?
All right, hold on a second.
I picked Texas.
Yes, you did.
I don't mean that. I mean in the way you guys present stuff. Like, my wife is always like, don't swear. I'm like, actually swearing is somewhat amusing if you've got a half a fucking brain to understand that swearing is amusing. But most people don't, so they say don't swear. And guess what? The Joe Rogans of the world and the David Goggins of the world who do swear are the ones that succeed because they are different. That's my only point. Yeah, baby. Oh, God, my wife's out here fucking me on.
Tom, you are different.
I'm what? Right. I missed that. Well, I'm what?
We were just lamenting what your wife was saying behind you.
You are entertaining, Tom. I have to hand that to you.
Yeah, I'll tell you, if that was Hawkeye Mike speaking, I don't even think I have any redeeming qualities anymore. That's how bad, miserable my life's gotten. But if you said that, I'm going to fucking take it, and I'm going to fucking ingest it, I'm going to harbor it, and I'm going to enjoy it. That's what I want to be. I want to be entertaining. That's all I want to be. And my wife's like, you're trying too hard. Well, I'm trying too hard, maybe, but I'm trying hard enough, if that makes sense, which it doesn't for you fucking retards. Peter, you got that. That was pretty fun. My buddy in Tucson, I tell him my jokes, and he's like, you know what, dude? You're just not funny. And I'm like, dude, no one laughs at me. And he's, you know what he says to me? He says, because no one thinks you're funny. There might be some truth to that. Okay, big deal. All right, B, I'm going to let you close. I'm
so,
sorry.
You guys have any party comments on any of the games? Which ones to watch? Which ones to watch out for? Any other real quick? Tebow.
It's going to be a hell of a Saturday. That's all I'll say.
All right. Indy.
Looking forward to Penn State, Iowa. That's just going to be a classic game and an environment. So.
Especially 4:00, man. That's going to be a good time for it. Hawkeye.
Yeah, no, like I said, it's going to be a hell of a day Saturday, and really look, I'm like with Indy, I'm looking forward to that game. It's going to be, can't wait for it. It's going to be an electric atmosphere, and you know, it just, I mean, no matter what happens, it's going to be great.
And it, so it's 4 o'clock Eastern time. So what is that? 2 o'clock Iowa time. Is that right? 2 hours.
3 o'clock.
No, 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock.
1 hour.
Yeah. Okay. Tommy, any last words? Just like,
yeah,
real quick.
Real quickly, I'm going to echo. I mean, they all said it, but Indy did the best edit. Iowa game. I'm sorry, you have the 3 team in the nation facing the 4 team in the nation. That's obviously the biggest game. I think it's going to be a huge game. I think anyone that has any respect for sports, which I don't mind if one doesn't, but if anyone has any respect for sports, you must watch this game. And I'll leave it at that.
Definitely. It's going to be on Fox, 4 p.m. Eastern time. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you for having me sub-host for Hank. And who would have thought the shotgun wedding would last 25 years, you know? I mean, just it's great. Oh, I had it.
Do you know, hey, can I have 20 seconds, Vito?
Go ahead.
This motherfucker says, Hank, I'm talking about, his wife's prettier than Halle Berry and shit. I've seen his wife. She ain't that pretty.
Oh, come on. She's beautiful.
So you're talking about shotgun weddings. No, I'm not going to do false humility. I'm not doing it. It's not my nature. But he's like, I'm like, really? Are you really fucking saying that? And you said, you used the term shotgun wedding, not me.
Hey, Tom, I was there that day. I remember watching football in the kitchen. I remember watching
You were not there that day. That's bullshit.
Oh, I was. I was there.
Is this Hawkeye Mike?
No, this is T-Bone.
You were at Bob's wedding? I was the fucking best man. Oh, God, my wife's coming up looking at me.
What? I was there.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, I remember going over to the house.
Hawkeye Mike was not there, so I don't know.
Now, the only thing I remember about you was 2006 at the Capital One Bowl. I don't remember you being at Bob's wedding.
No, you were still sober then.
Yeah. God knows how long it's been since I've been sober. Vito, hey,
right.
Your forum, my bad.
That's okay.
Great talking. Hey. But I don't think you were at that wedding. I think you ought to reevaluate.
Thanks,
hey,
Dino.
All right, guys.
All right, I love you
guys.
Guys
take
sorry
care.
I'm such a pain in the ass.
That's all right. Go Iowa. Go Hawkeyes. And you
go
guys
Hawk.
Be safe out there. I want to thank Hank and wish he and Mrs. Hank all the best for another 25 years. Congratulations. And
why didn't
thank
the
you
son
for...
of a bitch call in? Do you ever get a little upset about that? I would be.
What? I wouldn't know. He's probably enjoying
yeah,
his, you
that's
know.
That's what
his,
you do. It's called
right.
It's called
it's love.
Procedure. It's called decorum. Call it whatever the fuck you want. No, he should
it's called
in.
Love.
You should be pissed. You should be pissed.
It's called love.
Because
I like
you more. You play my fucking opening song. I want you to fucking be doing the Wednesday song.
Well, you know
the
what?
Wednesday
we're gonna close right now, and you know, follow the rest of the shows on Global Patriot Radio tomorrow night. We've got Paul Sutliff with the Sutliff Report Friday, Andrew Harrod with Conservative Casual Friday, Saturday Minister Simon Dakduck and the beautiful Christy with the Straight Ray of Grace Ministry. Sunday we got Eric from Kafiristan with his Real Interfaith Dialogue, The Cross and the Crescent. Monday I'll be
Time
back
out.
With
Real
Al.
Quick. Is she really beautiful?
6 to 8 p.m.
Really
and Tuesday
beautiful?
Eric from Kafiristan's back.
Real quick.
What's that?
Real quick, is Christy really beautiful? Bob,
yes,
she,
I wonder, I wonder
yes.
that too.
Is she really beautiful?
Yes.
Like, would I want to fuck her?
No. Oh my God. Okay. See you later. Goodbye. That one I got to go on. See you later, Mike. Thanks for joining us. Bye, Indy. And we got, let's see, Tuesday we've got the Cross and the Crescent with Eric from Kafiristan, and then Wednesday, Hank will be back next week at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. We'll talk picks. He'll talk football. I'll give him the score wrap-ups here that everybody went on, and I'm sure he'll go over it. And I want to thank Hank for having me sit in for him tonight. I want to thank you all for joining us, Bigfoot, our big patriot. That's www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. He's got a great blog spot, true patriot. Go to his blog spot. Indy Hawk, nice to see you. Southern Sense Talk Radio. Andy, our deployable radio chick. She's on Fridays on Blog Talk Radio from 1 to 5 p.m. 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern time. And you got we got T. Bodie in the house. So thank you, T. Bodie. I appreciate it. You guys take care of yourself. Be safe out there. God bless you. We'll go off with Tommy's song here.
This is TJ, dedicating the song to Let Belly.
Whoa, Black Betty, Bama Lamb. Whoa, Black Betty, Bama Lamb. She's from Birmingham, Bama Lamb. Way down in Alabama, Bama Lamb. The way she shake that thing,
shake.
Bama Lamb. Boy, she make me sing, Bama Lamb. Whoa, Black Betty,
yeah.
Bama Lamb. Whoa, Black Betty, Bama Lamb. She really getting me high,
hey.
Bama Lamb. You know that's no lie, Bama Lamb. She's so rock steady,
yeah.
Bama Lamb, but she's always ready. Bama Lamb, whoa, Black Betty. 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 Bama Lamb.
Be safe out there. Thanks, Hank.